Welcome to Get a Life Balanced, where we share real tips how to make, not find, time for those you love, those you don't, and yourself. So let's welcome your host, author, and speaker, Cheryl Nicholson.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here today. I'm actually sitting in a studio with Chris. He's making me laugh. We're going to talk today about how to stop interrupters. You know, one of the things about life balance is people who take or steal our time away from us. Now, you've learned some strategies on how to say no without sounding passive or aggressive. And so now we're going to talk about the two types of interrupters. We're going to invest a few minutes on how to deal with those particular people. I've found that there's actually two types of interrupters. You know, the ones who just stop by with a cup of coffee in their hands to chat, and the ones who ask first. So let's deal with the chit-chatters first. When you're on the phone or working and someone breaks your concentration, research has shown that it actually takes 22 minutes to get back to the concentration level you were at before the interruption. So, you know, when they come in the door and they go, "Hey, got a minute?" The reality is, no, you never got a minute. You just lost 22. So here are some quick tips on controlling those interruptions. The first one we're going to talk about is when someone comes into your workspace, I want you to look up and give them a hand signal. No, nothing nasty, just a palm up like a stop sign. The reason that they do that is they don't really realize that you have seen them, so they just start right on talking. So if you give them a hand signal, remember again, a nice hand signal, this acknowledges that, yep, I see you, I've seen you. If you don't do this, they'll just keep right on talking all over your phone conversation or all over your work. The next step, after a few minutes of listening, is look at your watch, like you're going somewhere. Now, this is a great nonverbal tool or clue that you're busy. The third step is to stand up as if you're going somewhere. Now, if they still don't get the message, go somewhere. One attendee told me that she went into the bathroom, but her interrupter followed her into the bathroom. "What do I do now?" she asked. "Well, find a different place to go, like outside to the car. But just go somewhere." This is actually a training process for those people who interrupt so that they understand you are busy. We're all creatures of habit, and one of the reasons we have a problem with people interrupting is because we have allowed it. You know, kids are really great. As soon as you get on the phone, they know they can interrupt you. You're not going to hang up, chances are. You're going to yell at them, but they still can sort of distract you and go do what they want to do. So we have to take the responsibility to change our environment. Don't allow your busy work space to be a huddle area. Now, what about people who ask? Well, here's my best solution. Always have your TMT opened on your desk. Remember what TMT stood for? Your time management tool. Now, when you open up that, and maybe you're not a person like I am that likes to write in a book, maybe you have all of your time management stuff done on a phone, then grab something, a calendar or something, and put it on your desk that infers that you are busy. Now, when someone asks, "Got a minute?" you simply look down into your day timer or your calendar or whatever you are going to look at, and you're going to say, now this is word for word, "Well, I've got 4 minutes right now." What? 4 minutes? What does that imply? Well, that says that you're really busy and you're serious about your time investment. Most times you'll get a response like, it's going to take a little bit longer than that. So don't ever say, "I got 5 or "I'll give you 15 minutes, because here in our American culture, 5 means nothing. If you say, "I'll give you 5 minutes, you know they're going to take 15 or 20. But if you say, "I've got 4 minutes right now," people think, wow, she's serious. She measures her time. She values her time. I guess this is not going to work at this particular moment. Then your next response would be an alternative choice question technique like this. You could come back into my office at 3:33 today, or would you rather discuss this issue over lunch? Either way, you're in control to deal with the matter later. By using discussion over lunch, you're using what we call the umbrella living tool, which we'll discuss later. So try this next time and let me know how it works. Time is money, And my question is, are you investing it or spending it? If I were to ask you, what would you want more of? 9 times out of 10, people will say, I need time. In today's marketplace, it's more important than money. Let's hear from our sponsor.
Hi, Cheryl. This is Effie with Mary Kay. Did you know there are no territories or boundaries with Mary Kay? You can do your business anywhere in the world as a Mary Kay business owner. I love my Mary Kay. It balances my life. It gives me the freedom to be with my family. I get to determine what I'm worth, and I love helping others grow. Just call me, Effie, at 727-688-9630, or for more information, go to mkeffie.com, mkeffie.com.
Well, welcome back, and I am so excited to share this next half with you about 4 reasons and cures to procrastination. You know, is there something that you procrastinate on? Everybody procrastinates on something. And one of the reasons is projects are sometimes just overwhelming. So we put them off and off and off. And you know what I've noticed? It doesn't matter how old you are. I've got young kids and grandkids that procrastinate. And I have older people who procrastinate. So why is that? Have you ever wondered why? You know, I'm pretty assertive in a lot of areas of my life. In fact, a lot of people would say I get a lot done. But even myself, there's certain things I will procrastinate on. So I have this friend who's a psychologist, and I sat down with him and I asked him, you know, why is that? And I was fascinated when he shared with me the 4 types of procrastination. And then what I wanted to do was figure out how to fix that. So we have mind talk that configures in our head the way we think about a project. If I share with you the 4 types and their solutions, then maybe you can get started on some of those things, hey, as early as today, and it won't sap your energy. So what I call the 4 reasons or causes and cures of procrastination are items, not I-T-E-M-S, but I-D-D-M-S, the 4 items of procrastination. So let's talk about the I first. The first one is, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be perfect. This way of thinking is for those of us that are data collectors. We want to do the research first, get our ducks in a row, and then worry that it won't be up to our high standards. So we just keep putting it off. You would not believe how many times I'll be in an audience and people will come up to me and they'll say, I'm going to write a book, or I'm in the middle of writing a book. And I'll go, great, what's the title? Well, I have to finish the book first. Well, how long have you been working on it? In fact, you're not going to believe this. Yesterday, I was at a speaking engagement, and this gentleman came up to me who I had known. He's one of my Facebook friends. And he said, oh, it's so great to see you. I'm so excited to share with you my project. He gave me this absolutely gorgeous book, huge book, very big book. It's a kid's book, and it's an alphabet book, so unique because each letter has drawings for a kid to color of a particular animals and things with that letter. So you can imagine a D would have ducks and, you know, all the things that have to do with a D. So I asked Scott, this is great. How long did it take you to finish? You know what he told me? 5 years. 5 years. Why? Because in his mind, it had to be perfect. Now, for those of you who are readers, have you ever read a perfect book? I certainly haven't. I mean, I've actually read books where the pages are upside down. For sure, there's grammatical errors. For sure, there's misspellings. So it's got to be perfect, really stunts your ability to advance and grow in life. So here's the solution. Doing something is better than doing nothing at all. Doing something is better than doing nothing at all. Activity breeds activity. You know, when I thought about building my first home, I was completely overwhelmed just looking at houses. I mean, the completed project seemed impossible. you look at a house and you're like, geez, where do you start? And the house that I built was a double dome. It was the first double dome ever built on the East Coast United States. So now you've got the geometric issue too. And let me tell you, I was never good at math. So how did I solve that problem? Well, I started visiting building sites and I talked to contractors. How's a house built? Guess what? One bite-sized piece, one timber, one brick at a time. Activity breeds activity. So many people tell me that they're going to be doing so many different things, but procrastination and that need to be perfect stops them. As long as you have the passion, get started on something and the pieces will fall together. You ready for the second part? The second part is the D. It's got to be perfect. The first D, don't tell me. What? Isn't it funny that one person can ask you to do something and it just sounds like a simple request, but that same request out of the mouth of somebody else all of a sudden takes on the sound of an order. Now, you don't want to do it because you were told to do it. It may sound childish. Well, that sounds like a little kid, you know, don't tell me. You're not my mama. I can do whatever I want. But the reality is I have suffered from that also. So what's the solution from don't tell me? You just change your way of thinking. You reframe your mind talk. So here's a great exercise. I want you to think about something that you should be doing, okay? Something, and so just fill in this blank. I should, and write that down. I should, or think in your mind, I should. What is it that you should be doing that you've been procrastinating on? You got it? Now, I want you to say it to yourself quietly 3 times. I should start an exercise program. I should stop smoking. I should call my mother. I don't know what your shoulds are. What are your shoulds? What we do all day long is should all over ourselves. We are. And maybe you think, well, I would never should on myself, but you should all over your children. Hey, kids, you shouldn't be watching TV. You should do your homework. You should take out the trash. You should cut the grass. We should all over people. Should language is very guilt-ridden language, and it works. Why does it work? Our parents used it on us. They taught us how to do that. But here's what I want you to do. Uncross those arms. Instead of saying, don't tell me and I should, I want you to cross out that word should and replace it with the word choose to. See, everything in life, it's a choice. You are where you are in life because of the choices you have made. Wow, talk about accountability. So let me give you an example of where I procrastinate on this particular area. I typically procrastinate on things that are to be done on a regular basis, like doctor's appointments, vitamins. Now I have to go to the doctor because I got a postcard that says I have to. Or I have to stop smoking because my doctor told me to. By the way, I don't smoke, never did. But you got my idea as an example. Instead, I recognize that everything in life is a choice. I can choose not to go to the doctor or not to quit smoking. The only choice that you have to remember is every choice comes a consequence. And the consequence for those choices might be very terrible. So are you willing to live with the consequence? No. So I choose to do the right thing. Now, do you feel more empowered when you say, I choose to start an exercise program? I choose to stop smoking. I choose to call my mother. You're empowered because it's your choice. The third one is desserts first. This is the second D. D-I-D-D. Here it is. Desserts first. Oh, I love this one. This is for us fun lovers. We procrastinate on projects because they ain't no fun. If there's no fun attached, we're not going to do it. I have a very short attention span and I get bored very quickly on any kind of project. And man, if that project becomes to work, I'm going to put it way back on my list of things to do. So here's an example. I hate making marketing or cold calls. I'm even bad about returning phone calls. So calls will pile up and then it makes me look bad. I'll hear customers say, we never hear from you anymore. I don't ever get to hear your voice. I'll email you all day long. Email I love. And I started wondering, why is that? And I think the reason that is because as a time management person and knowing that if I interrupt you, I've taken 22 minutes of your time, I'll just send an email and that way you can pick it up at your convenience. But when you start hearing customers or other people complaining, hey, you never talk to me anymore, I don't hear you anymore, I realized, wow, I needed to do something about it. So the calls started piling up and it definitely affected my reputation. So how did I solve the problem? Here's the solution. When you don't do anything because it's not fun, take that project, do it in bite-sized pieces, and then go reward yourself with something fun. So instead, I commit to making 5 phone calls, and then I go reward myself. And you know what I realized? Those 5 phone calls only take a few minutes because nobody's on the other line. I'm just leaving messages, and now they've got my name on their list of things to do. Pretty great, huh? So how do I reward myself? Well, hopefully I'm not going out for Coca-Cola or coffee. Instead, I'll go out for fresh air or I'll work on something else for a break. And then I'll make 4 or 5 more phone calls. And by the end of the week, all my calls are returned. So this is how I also work on writing lengthy proposals or even write a book. I'll get the most important stuff done first and then reward myself. Now I feel refreshed to go and focus on the rest of the project. And then the last area is the M. We've done I, D, D, M. And the M stands for maybe it'll just go away. What? Maybe it'll just go away. That's right. Maybe it'll just go away. I know you are the true ostrich of life. You bury your head, forget about it, put it on a back shelf. Maybe it'll just go away. If I don't mention it, maybe somebody else will pick up this project and champion it. No, here's the truth. It's not going to go away. This one is probably the deadliest procrastination yet. Why? All day long, the guilt creeps into your head like a big black cloud. It's not going to go away. So you work around that project all day long. And then you know what you do? You kick that over to tomorrow's to-do list. It's the first thing that greets you in the morning. Every time you think about it, it just saps your energy. Have you ever said during the middle of the day, I need a nap? You know, maybe I can go into the bathroom and just put my feet up so nobody will know that I'm in there and sleep on the toilet. Maybe I can go stick out by my car and park my car under a nice shade tree and take a little power nap. The reason that happens is because when you procrastinate and you think about all the things that you should be doing, it'll literally sap you on the of your energy. So here's a great solution that works every time for me. I want you to go picture yourself a big fat frog. And maybe in my seminars, I actually give these frogs away, not live ones. Don't worry. I don't need anyone to send me an email about cruel and unusual punishment for frogs. I'm talking about rubber frogs, stuffed frogs. I want my audience to have a visual reminder, and you stick this frog on your desk first thing in the morning every day. So that thing that you're procrastinating on, that is like a big, fat, ugly toad sitting on your desk to greet you every single morning. So how are you going to get rid of it? You're going to eat that thing first thing in the morning. What? If you will do that, do the thing you hate the most and do that first, the rest of your day will be much more energized and guilt-free. So you want another example? Remember those phone calls I said I hated to make? I make them first thing in the morning. I get to check them off my list, and within minutes, I feel very well accomplished. No matter how busy the day gets, at the end of the day, I have the worst part of the day tackled. So at the end of the day, when you go home and you collapse and you feel like you haven't gotten anything done, by eating that frog first thing in the day, you know apples and toads and bite-sized pieces help you get a life balanced. Thank you for listening. Keep sending those emails and remember to become a Facebook fan at facebook.com/CSP Cheryl. I'll talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to Get a Life Balanced with Cheryl Nicholson. If you would like booking information, contact her at www.getalifebalance.com or email cheryl@cheryl.com. Share your ideas and join her Life Balance community on facebook.com/getalifebalance. Now download the next session for more real tips that work.